right, and we're back. This is episode 57 of the Taproom Podcast, and I am your host, Mike. What a day. I'm recording this on a Saturday. I'm over here at Noble, recording in their back office. And actually, at the end of the episode, we'll have a What's New at Noble, because I have a couple new beers out. But this episode, episode 57, is with at Real Ale Sharpton on Instagram. It's just such a super nice guy. I mean, can't wait for you guys to hear the interview. We got to talk about, you know, his journey through craft beer and, like, you know, what he does for the community and all that stuff out in Atlanta. So it was a really fun episode. Really looking forward to you guys listening to that. That'll be, you know, I'll put the timestamp in the description. But yeah, such a down-to-earth guy, and like everything that he's done, and he's just like a, you know, his award-winning writer for craft beer, stuff like that. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that. I am going to be drinking for this beer, or for the brewski. I'm not cracking it open because it got poured out of the tap here at Noble, but it's Minty Charms. Josh had talked about it on last week's episode, but I figured since it's St. Paddy's Day, figured might as well. Let's jump on in. Well, that's good stuff. I mean, for it being like, you know, it's like a, obviously a mint chocolate stout. It's not overly heavy or anything like that. You get that mint that pops, and then you also get those chocolate notes, obviously. This one is, for me, like, for being a mint stout, and like mint chip ice cream is probably like my go-to when it comes to ice cream and stuff like that. This is a big fat 10 for me. They absolutely killed it with this one. Can't say enough good things about it. And they're flying like hotcakes. So like I said last week, if you have a chance to get over to the brewery to, you know, to pick some up, definitely do that, because they're making some killer stuff right now. This morning I went and recorded at Noble. I'm here at Noble now. I went and recorded at Hamilton over in Rancho off of Archibald and 7th. Got to talk to Josh Hamilton, so Mr. Hamilton himself. Such a, like, a really fun episode. His entire journey getting to where he is now, and the brewery being open for 10 years, and they're coming up on their anniversary in June. I can't wait for you guys to hear that. That'll be in a few weeks. But I got to talk to him, got to talk to his employees and stuff like that. It was a really, really fun time. But yeah, St. Paddy's Day is tomorrow. I did ask the other day about some people's traditions. Most of the answers were the same. It was like, you know, getting shit-faced, who cares, fuck work, and all that sort of stuff. But my buddy, my boy, Chew Your Beer, he said, he's like, I'm Mexican, I'm waiting for the Cinco de Mayo. So that was pretty funny. NFL free agency has been going wild. Wish I had more time to delve into it. Just got a lot of stuff going on, but NHL, the playoffs are coming. What else we got? Oh, I did want to talk about, because the Brewers Cup of California just happened the other day, and I wanted to talk about some of the winners, and I want to talk about mostly like the styles that I like and stuff like that. But there was a ton of great beer out there, and it just shows that California is, you know, the place to go to right now, like when it comes to, like, you know, the craft beer scene. But I wanted to go through some of the winners. Like I said, for some of the beers that I really enjoy, for the winners for international style Pilsner, I'm leaving that in, is, you know, the gold winner was the Monk Cellar Pride of Felix. Silver was Project Barley Brewing for Cerveza Lomita. And Topa Topa was the bronze for Dos Topas. So I'm definitely going to have to try all of those. So if anybody knows anybody, just send, you know, let me know, and I'm gonna definitely pick it up. For double IPA, was the Dust Bowl Brewing. Actually had gold and silver, so kudos to Dust Bowl. And you know, the one thing about Dust Bowl, they do like make quads and all these different ones, and it's like they're not overly boozy. And I know some people love that. But for me, if I can drink something like that and it goes down easy and it's not, you know, too bad. But yeah, the gold was their Day Ender, which I love. Like, I mean, like, you gotta end the day on a double. And then their silver was Liquid Confessional. So that sounded pretty cool. And then shout out to my boy, Ian. Ian McCall over at Ism Brewing in Long Beach. They took the bronze for it, and it's called Lifted Camaro. I didn't get to try that one. I don't know if that came out after, but I'm definitely going to have to get down there, hang out with Ian, try that. And I'm super excited about it. And I want to say Ism took home like 5 medals, I think. So kudos to them. Also, Frogtown, one for Bohemian Pills. It was a Lights Out. So I'm excited, because I'm going to talk to Jonathan from Frogtown, I think, towards the end of the month on the 30th. So that should be pretty fun. Angel City, I thought this was pretty cool. They took for the Belgian Sours category, they took home they took gold, silver, and bronze. So kudos to them. And honestly, kudos to all the people that, you know, that won medals this week. Like, that's so awesome. And then one for American and West Coast IPA. Bear Bottle Brewing took home the gold, a fantastic call. Moxa Brewing took the silver with All Good Days. Hop Saint won with their Hop Saint IPAs, won the bronze, so that's pretty awesome, so kudos. American Light Lager, got to give it to my boy, my buddy Mike over at Unsung, took the gold for with Lumino. El Segundo took silver in that category for Harvest Legend. And then Canyon Lakes Golf Course and Brewery took one with Thin Shot. I thought that was pretty damn cool that there's the golf course with the brewery on it. That's pretty badass. And then we had the American Pilsner, which this one that won gold, I just tried it the other day when I recorded over with Abraham and the Tall Boy Sunday podcast. Make sure you go check out that episode with us on it. It was me, obviously the Tall Boys, and then John over from Whittier, and then also Abraham from La Bodega. But this one, I tried it at Abraham's house, you know, from Los Angeles Ale Works, was the Palmera Pills. It was pretty phenomenal. So definitely, you know, give them some love. And if you're in the area, go check it out. And then Claremont Craft Ales took silver with Baldy. Figaro Mountain Brewing took the bronze with Awa Imperial. And then the Hazy IPA category, June Lake Brewing. Shout out to them. They did a collab with Brewery X not that long ago. My brother did the can artwork, so shout out. But theirs is called Hockey Fight Hazy. And if you know me, I love hockey, so definitely need to go down there and try that. And then this one, this the brewery that took silver. I kind of feel like I need to do a collab with them or something like that because they're called Taproom Beer. And kind of feel like, you know, the Taproom podcast, Taproom Beer, I think we need to make something happen. But they took silver with the Double PB Haze. So kudos, you know, shout out to you guys. And Radiant Beer Co. have reached out. We'll see if maybe something might happen. You never know. But they took the bronze with Works For Me. So kudos to all the breweries out there, you know, that won medals. You know, it's all your hard work, you know, gets paid off when something like that happens. And just, you know, you deserve, I mean, for all the breweries out there, you deserve the recognition for all the hard work you put in. So, all right. So we're going to jump into the interview, and then the outro will be the What's New at Noble with, I think, Jimmy, Paul, Josh, and Cam. So it should be a fun one. All right, guys. Hope you guys enjoy the interview. Stay tuned.
All right, guys. We're back in the tap room, and I'm your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today. It's Dennis Malcolm Byron, also known as The Real L. Sharpton on Instagram. How's it going, man?
Oh, man, honor to be here. Thanks for having me over here, Mikey. Appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, no, of course. I'm glad we were able to, you know, to get all this nailed down and have a couple beers and hear about your craft beer journey, man.
Never turn down a couple beers.
Oh, yeah. So what are you drinking today?
I went by what they call it, Mont Disney. And so there, I love that sound, right?
Oh, yeah.
Went to Hop City, which is one of the best beer stores in the country. And they have a couple of them. It's a great concept. We can buy and drink while you're chilling. So shout out to Hop City.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Mont Disney is Monday Night Brewing. It's all in the West End. And then there's Wild Heaven. And Wild Heaven just came out with a West Coast. And I've been waiting to try. I'm looking for West Coast all over the place. I'm looking for cleaner kind of IPAs, which is my thing. So I got this one. The Beach Off they just came off with. So shout out to Eric and my man Nick, who are the founders. And I said, let me go over there. And then El Tesoro is a taco spot within the brewery. They've merged together. So my other brother, Alan, has one of the best tacos in the state.
Oh, awesome.
Tacos. It's Taco Tuesday. So we made it a whole thing of it. So me and my wife, Andrea, went and got busy. And now we're back at the house ready to kick it with you.
Oh, there we go. That's awesome. I mean, can you beat beer and tacos?
Man, no, that's a beautiful combination, brother.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned Monday Night Brewing. Like, I had to talk to Latrice Harris.
Oh, my homie, the beery godmother.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. I talked to her back in, I want to say it was August of last year. And she, because I'm like a huge like wrestling fan. So, I mean, as she mentioned Monday Night Brewing.
Really?
I was like, oh, I wonder. Yeah, I was like, I wonder if it was like a wrestling thing, but I was completely off. I mean, it has nothing to do with wrestling, so.
Yeah, Monday Night Brewing, man. They're blowing up. Now they're like, I think, five cities now. They're
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're called Monday Night. They used to have their tastings of their home brewing after their Bible study. And so they had people come by one of their houses and all that. And they said, "Ale." Somebody said, "Ale, you got to try their beer," and they want to meet you. And then I went by there, and this is years ago, man.
And yeah.
Look at them. The three breweries. Mm-hmm. No, three, I think, function breweries, but there's five locations. I don't know. I get the whole thing straight. Then I'm doing a big event with them on March 22nd. So there's a lot of things going on. It's called Ale Max Day.
And oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So shout out to my man, Craig. We're doing it together with them. And Peter, Kylie, and all those guys, they're just all on me. So it's an ongoing thing, man. It's fun.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, so I wonder if we could jump into it. I want to tell us about like how, because I mean, you're an award-winning writer. You have all, you've done all these different things. Can you tell us about your craft beer journey, man?
Yes, sir. I have always been into beer. I'm a big person in marketing advertising, and beer just always resonated with me when I was younger. And then the cool commercials that came along with it, and Lowenbrau Tonight is kind of special. The jingles that came out.
Yeah.
And I love the packaging and all that. And I really, beer was just my thing. Since my first sip when my uncle gave me one when I was six, and he thought I was going to spit out, say it was gross. But I'm like, I'm going to drink that when I'm older. And sure enough, that's the
case.
There
you go.
I don't drink pretty much anything else. And when I went to Cornell, I was studying more marketing and restaurant hospitality management in one of my own spot. But I realized writing about the people who do it instead of the actual people who do it, me being one of them, I'd rather feature them and show love for them because of how hard they work. And then I got into beer and how much flavors and the roots of it being from Africa and all that, and women being the first brewers. It was too much of a story not to teach it. I involve myself with it and be involved with that culture. And I thought there was a room for it to be a little more, not necessarily hip, but a little more in touch with more cultures. Right now, being with sneakers, but also with design, being with music, being with all these things that I love. And I think there's a way to introduce that. I was a hip hop head. So hip hop artists have a lot of pseudonyms. And I said, why not do that for the beer industry? And no one was doing that at the time. So I said, make a play on a passion that Al Sharpton has for civil rights, do it with beer. So I'll be Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
And it made people know I was a brother, but also I'm about beer. So it was a perfect combination. So then I went ahead and went hard with it, man. Brandon myself was the only influencer / writer or identity that had a sticker. I wanted something because I was already doing travel writing with a lot of magazines. Why not visit the breweries while I'm on those trips and leave them with a sticker? So that thing is all over the place, and it's been history since, man. It's been a beautiful journey.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I mean, and it's always cool to, like, to hear those kind of stories. And even Cornell, like, they have a really big like brewing program, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Boy, Douglas Miller, who's a professor there, is a beast. So a lot of people go to his class. He teaches about beer. I wish I had that when I was there.
Yeah.
They had the big wine course there in Cornell at the time. But now with the beer and just the way things are going, man, it's just a beautiful thing. And now this podcast and you having me on there, I'm meeting you. You're in Cali. You're across the nation, but we're connected here and I'm meeting good people. And that's the thing that's really honestly the fuel that keeps me going in this industry.
Oh, yeah. And to me, that's, I mean, I say that all the time. I mean,
see the Atlanta hat, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I always got to wear my, always got to rock my Braves. I think I have like 15 to 20 different Braves hats.
That's real.
But yeah, they've been my team since I was little. But one thing I love about the craft beer industry is just like everybody, it's like, because I mean, and like, there's like, I feel like there's other industries out there, like say like, you know, like the wine industry where there's like, oh no, this is what I do. This is how I do things. I'm not trying to give away any of my secrets, but in the craft beer, there's so much collaboration and people willing to, you know, open up, you know, their business to help somebody else out. I mean, I love that. I love that. Everything about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the beer industry, there's ways to reach out to help people. So when I started the beer with Piano Keys with New Belgium, one of my things was to involve some type of nonprofit. I love teaching and stuff. My family is a lineage of teachers. I'm also a lineage of chefs in my family. So that explains why I love flavors of the beer, and where beer is the one beverage that can emulate any flavor. But giving back to community, and I figured that gardens and community gardens would be really ideal.
Okay.
So we started something called Brewgether, and my wife, Andrea, she was already in the nonprofit industry, and she was like, hey, maybe there's a way we can bridge this to expand it on to breweries. So there's ways where we're fundraising to help with community gardens and agricultural specialists to help fund what they have going on and bring some awareness to that as well. because there's 1% of breweries that are owned by Black people in the U.S., and this is the same thing with farms. So is this that symmetry that makes sense to bring awareness to both communities at the same time?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
That's so I mean, you got to do it. Yeah. Oh, exactly. You got to do what you can for your community and all that sort of stuff,
man.
Brother.
It's all about, I feel good helping people, man. And there's so many different organizations I'm part of that gives back, and that's my thing.
Oh, same. And that, I mean, I love to, like, that's why I always love to, like, you know, talk to people on this platform, especially, like, you know, brewers or, like, you know, maybe some of the smaller ones, just to get their name out there, you know, to support small business, to be able to support the, you know, the people, like the people in your backyard. Cause sometimes we always think like, oh, I want to go to one of the bigger guys, one of the bigger boys. And don't get me wrong, I like to talk to them too.
Sure.
But I mean, I try to focus on the people within, you know, within my backyard.
Absolutely, bro. Excuse me, but I didn't ask you what you drinking, brother.
So Brewery X just did this new one. It's for the Alpha King.
Oh, work.
And if you want
to, it has to be IPA with that name.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it's called Alpha King Kiss the Ring, and it has the crown on it. It's called Slap and Tumble. It's a double West Coast. It's coming in at 9%. It's actually really, really good. It packs a little bit of a punch, but almost with like a little hint of sweetness in there. It's not like it's really like on like a on the back end, but man, it goes down smooth. So I might have to say, I know you said you were looking for some West Coast. So I might have to send you some stuff.
We might have to do that. Yeah. I just got interviewed by Alchemist, which is really dope, man.
Oh, nice.
And shout out to them. And they sent me some of their Heady Topper along with their other things. And congratulations to them. It's their 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to say nowadays. But yeah, it's a iconic beer. So I really love California beers, though, man. I always have a good time going to San Diego and kicking with a lot of people there. And then, of course, L.A. is starting to develop and have some nice spots. And then my homies, Creature
Comforts,
just opened up a brewery right downtown. I'll be back for doing something special with them. Stay tuned for that. But, yeah, there's some good things going on in Cali, man. If people ask me what state has the best, I would say Cali is up there as top five. Easy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a ton out here. And speaking of Creature Comforts, I think his name is Tom. One of the guys that's working at the LA location, and I know that they have their brewer, James. Yep. I've been trying to talk to them a little bit. I know we're both, and I guess both of us are super busy, but we're trying to work on something so we can have them on and we can talk about their story. And I was like, and I can wear my Braves jersey, so it'll be all good. No, I've never even been.
Oh, hell no. First of all, I'm the mayor of fun in Atlanta. So you need to come through and kick it with me, and I'll do the
Dale
Sharpton red carpet. And I love showing off this lovely city. I love it.
I am so down.
It's different. So, and the beer scene is sick.
Oh, yeah, and that's what, like, Latrice was telling me, too. She's like, well, you got to come out here. We got to, you know, go to all the different breweries. I was like, I'm so down. So the plan is I'm trying to plan a trip for maybe May, so I'll keep you posted. But, yeah, I grew up watching on TBS, and Chipper Jones was my favorite player. Yeah,
we got wrestling, too, on there at TBS. We got wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like WCW. Wilkins. TV's
looking out for
us. Oh, yeah, no doubt. So I was like, yeah, that was pretty much it. And like I saw Chipper Jones hit a home run, and I was a fan ever since.
There you go. I'm originally from New York, so Yankees is my squad, but every time the Yankees come here, we hang out. And last time I was there, I hung out with a few people, saw Spike Lee. We took a picture.
Yeah, I remember
together,
that one.
Which is really cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, but Atlanta's whole vibe is really dope. I'm not a fan of the tomahawk chop too much, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But overall, just the energy and the way the fan support is really amazing. So, and these guys ain't going nowhere. They keep building. They have going on. So. Yeah, can't be mad at them.
Oh, yeah, it's exciting to be a Braves fan for sure.
But you need to go to an Atlanta United game.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's amazing, bro.
Oh, yeah, I'm so down. I mean, I love all sports, so I'm always down for anything.
Got you, me too.
That's awesome. I did want to ask you, so like, because one thing I always love to ask people is that, like, you know, because craft beer, obviously, like, was even going back 15 years ago, was really still in its infancy and stuff like that. Was there a specific beer that you tried and you're like, wait, this is what beer can be, kind of thing? Like, you know, when it comes to
in
stuff
general,
like that?
Or with the outside of Atlanta or just in general?
Oh, just in general. Yeah. Like even any, like the first time you like remember having like, Absolutely. You know, a craft beer. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, honestly, man, I've tried a lot of different ones, and there are a lot of lagers that are out there at the time. So, of course, you know, my palate wasn't developed enough to really tell the differences. I'm talking Michelob Dry, Löwenbräu, stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those craft beers weren't really popping just yet as far as accessibility. Like, you thought you were doing something with Killian's Red. I mean, I'm going way back.
You know, oh, same, bro. Yeah.
Try this. And then Vihestefan was one of the first wheat beers that were dope. Varsteiner was something that was just a fun introductory beer. But then I had Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout, which was something that just made me say, wow, there's a level of beer where it could be dark and roasty and chocolatey. I'm like, oh, shit. And that was made by a brother. Once I found that out, it was even more of a just a,
that's awesome.
Extra thing. And that was Garrett Oliver. Shout out to him. But that one then said, okay, beer can be a lot of flavors. And that made me just really dive in. Sierra Nevada's was really, really gangster. Fat Tire from New Belgium was something that you could get everywhere to try stuff. But I really developed a hophead kind of mentality. So I really started getting into that. So then that's when Victory started coming in with their stuff and the Prima pills and all the stuff. So, you know, when you get into the mind state of knowing that beer could just be so complex and have so many different flavors, you're going to want to try everything and then find out what agrees with you. And then what is your wave and what your strengths are. If you want it too, if you want it kind of low sessionable, if you want it kind of more of the imperial or double level or triple level, you got to find your niche and know how you wake up in the morning. I think that's the biggest key. But to answer your question, I say Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout.
Okay, man, that sounds delicious. I remember, and you were mentioning earlier about how, or just a minute ago, about how people, like, well, not people, but like how we, like, we think like Killian's was like, you know, like a big thing back then. I remember it was like Pyramid for me. I thought like Pyramid Hef was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, the greatest thing I've ever had.
Oh yeah, Pyramid, shout to them. Damn, yeah, that's real, man. There's so many other ones that were, when I moved to Atlanta, there was like Burt Grant's. People were like, what the hell is that? There's so many different breweries that were popping at the time. Oregon, this is called Oregon Brewery, and they had an IPA that was very cost effective for like a six pack, was like $8.99. But it was an IPA, and that's kind of one of those things. But they're like, a lot of these are gone. But Burt Grant was like the hophead. Their stuff was so fantastic. That's out of North Carolina. And it's not North Carolina. But there was another one, North Carolina, was dope, named after a golf course that was sick. But there were so many small little pockets that were small breweries starting to come up. Mm-hmm. And then, man, a lot of them just kind of either got bought or fell to the wayside. And then all of a sudden, craft beer movement kicked in. And that was when I really started to make the L. Sharpton brand really pop off.
Oh, yeah, man. I feel like it's just like the way it's exploded over the past, like, you know, you said about 15 years, it could just consistent growth. I mean, I know that was last year was like the first year in a long time where we weren't seeing more breweries open, but you were also seeing the really good breweries expand.
That's right. That's right. Sierra Nevada is a good choice of that.
Yeah.
You know, Goose Island, even before they were acquired, was really one of the like, oh, you got to have this Goose Island beer. Mm-hmm. Like, they had so many different ones. And the thing was, they had the reach, so people knew about them. So it kind of gave hope to smaller breweries when they had the reach to be national. So like I said, Goose Island, like New Belgium, Sierra Nevada, where they're like, oh, you know what? Brooklyn, all these different ones are like, oh, we can't Sweetwater. We can reach national level. And it gave hope to a lot of the smaller breweries. So there's always a great story with that kind of stuff.
I actually had one of the Sweetwaters. It was the tropical, it was like a gummy. It looked like gummies on the on the can.
Oh, yeah, the gummies
one. It's the gummies. I tried it actually yesterday. Like I had a little bit. Yeah, me and my brother had a couple beers after dinner because went out and had dinner with him. Awesome. And then we went back to his house and had a couple beers. And I had that one. I was like, oh, man, it was actually pretty solid.
It's I don't know if that's totally the best representation of their more what they have, but no, gummies is a great beer for people. And again, you enjoyed it, but a lot of people are naysayers to IPA. So sometimes you have to have a little more flavor forward stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Having fruit punch and tropical and all that, which is totally fine. But definitely you should check out some of the other beers that are just more, they're straight up IPA. Mm-hmm. They call it the OG, the yellow OG.
Oh, yeah.
A couple other ones. So there's ones, but you know, in order to make your money and expand, it's to educate and bring in more customers. So I definitely want to work on getting you a little pack of Sweetwater stuff so you can try that. But any brewery in Atlanta or otherwise, I think you should get some more beers I have sent out to you. We'll talk about that though.
Oh yeah, no, I'm down for it all, and because I've had one of their other ones, I can't remember which one it was, but I saved a couple because I knew when I talked to Latrice, we had a couple beers, and I had that. I had one of the Sweetwater ones. I think it was either Latrice or it might have been Grant McCauley, the beat writer for one of the beat writers for the Braves.
Word.
Yes, I think it was one of those two, but I know I've talked to a couple of them from Atlanta, so I was like,
I got a lot more for you.
I'm down.
And I'm looking forward to showing off my lovely city. I just left Nantucket. I was there today with the Nappy Roots.
Nice.
Which is the second Black-owned brick and mortar in Georgia history. And these guys, yeah, they got the Grammys and all that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest hit songs in hip-hop history.
Oh, no. It was like one of my favorites.
Good day.
Yeah.
But they're just down to earth and really passionate about making beer, man. And they're also part of this organization called the National Black Brewers Association. And it started with an icon in the basketball industry, Kevin. And he kind of just brought us all in to unify us and say, hey, we need to make a stance here. So now it's even better and bigger. And we're working together to make a beer. Black is Beautiful and all these other different types of beers that are really just going to take things to the next level. So shout out to them, MB2A, for sure.
That's awesome, man. And when you came to Atlanta, what year did you come move over from New York?
So I was in school. My folks were still living in Shaker Heights, Ohio. My dad got a dope job with Emory University, moved there in 90, and I was just graduating high school then, telling on my age, but I have no problem with that. I say I'm just wiser, not older.
Okay.
And then from Cornell, I just moved directly there. But I would visit Atlanta during my breaks. And I was like, whoa. So you're leaving Ithaca, New York, where I was born, and all my peoples are there. And it was dope to just see some of the people I went to elementary school with and hang out with them, and along with the people I went to school with at Cornell. And going down there, man, the big city, Freaknik was just popping.
Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar with Freaknik, but that is like a thing. There's a documentary on it right now that's going on, but it was just a big ongoing party during a weekend in Atlanta, and people come from all over the place to party.
Oh, that's awesome.
Shut down highways and just have a good time. It was music-oriented, and it was a beautiful time. But seeing that and seeing how this was a developing city that definitely needed a beer presence, That was something when I got out of school, put some time in and be like, okay, we need to make this more of a beer capital. There's everything else there, especially for Black people. There's Black mayors. How often do you see that, especially in the U.S.? Mm-hmm. There's Black police chiefs. There's Black fire chiefs. There's all these different things that empower and show that we can be a part of this country on a very executive level. And that gave me that influence to really be a little more of a aggressive position in terms of being that Black authority for beer. So it just really made me happen from the culture of what Atlanta had to present.
That's awesome, man. I mean, and like, you know, when you have like, it's like we mentioned earlier, just like when you have that community and like that community that community like you want to be a part of and you want to support and you want to do what you can to, you know, to help bring them, you know, bring them up. And it doesn't matter who it is, as long as you're helping people out, and it's all that matters.
And beer community brings in, it's not just Black, it's white, it's brown.
Yeah.
It's all, no matter what it is, we're all together collectively to make a great liquid. But it's not just the sipping part of it, it's the people behind it, their grind and story to make this thing a reality. It's really tough, bro. And that's one of the things that made me passionate to cover the beer industry is writing about their stories. And then you have the link of culinary with beer, and then you go into the culinary side, which I studied as well. So then I had to always bring those two together as much as possible.
Oh, for sure. And like, you know, when it comes to food pairings or anything like that, you know, that's always, you know, big to talk about. But I mean, like you were saying about like everybody just trying to make it, like, and that's what I always, like, one thing I always say on the show is that it's like, you know, I love to talk to those people, or like talk to the brewers and talk to the owners, because you can hear like that success story, because it's like everybody's destination is the same. Like everybody wants to open up their own brewery or to be a head brewer or director of brewing operations. But the journey to get there is different.
That's right. So, like,
Some people that just shadow, or some people that homebrew,
And there's different facets. It's not just making beer. There's there's design. There's merchandise. You know, there's my homies with Drought Season who do really dope things. The Illmax thing that's going on. There's so many beer people that are doing things in different places around the country that need to be supported. And you know, it opens the door for a lot of things, but people have to be open-minded to help embrace and support these people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when it comes to craft beer, too, I always joke, like, say, like, they just need to find their gateway drug into craft beer.
They can
find their right one.
What was yours? What was yours?
You know, man, so when I first started drinking craft beer, I started drinking Stone, but the first one I ever had was a double bastard. And I was like, what is this? Like, this isn't good to me. My palate wasn't all that refined yet. But then I remember I had the regular Stone IPA, and I was like, oh. And then I remember like, maybe I might've stolen a couple Sierra Nevada bottles from my dad's, you know, cupboard. I mean, stuff like that, but. I remember thinking like Amstel Light was like, oh my gosh, Amstel Light too. But it was probably Stone was like my first like craft beer one. But then when I went to Escondido with my buddies to go down there for the first time, it was Dogfish Head, actually. It was like that made me feel like, I think it was called Midas Touch. Yeah, I think that was the first one I ever had, like where I was like, oh man, this is what, like what kind of beer is this? Like where can I find this? Is there anywhere in the, like, but back then it was, you know, back in like 2009.
That's a great one to pick, man. It's funny. So the MB2A, we all went up there and hung out in Delaware with Sam and the rest of the team, his lovely wife, and then the rest of Dogfish Head. And it was an amazing experience. I mean, that's my homie already. He's one of the coolest people, Sam, co-founder of Dogfish. But it was just amazing going out there and kicking it with him. But Midas, that now that you say that, it was one that introduces so many flavors, and it was more embracing the history of beer. So that's why I call it this, was, you know, because and it showed that there was some malty balance along with the hops and a way you can make a lot of different flavors. So that was another beer that was very accessible. The 60 Minute was one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. It really introduced me to hops. And you are a hop head. If you love anything from Stone, then you already know what's popping already. Yeah. Yep. So you're a hop head, my man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Naturally. I'll always. Oh, yeah. And it's like for me, too, like when it comes to like, I mean, I've gotten, as much as I used to love like the triples and quads and stuff like that before. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I have been like where I'll stick to like a West Coast, or I'll like, usually if I go to a brewery, the first thing I'll order is their Pilsner, because I know if they did that well, then everything else is probably pretty good.
Yeah.
But sours too, like I try to mix it up because I don't want to just get bored with, you know, with a certain style. And hazies too, I'll throw in the occasional hazy. But definitely for sure.
IPA, West Coast kind of
you
guy.
You got it. Yeah.
We're homies already, brother. You know, there are some good hazies. And honestly, when I do a few of the Illmax ones, I don't want it too hazy. I don't want to chew an IPA.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it can have a slight haze to it. And then I was just interviewed with Alchemist. Great people.
Yeah.
They're just, shout out to them. They... with the Heady Topper is just so iconic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And the story behind it and all that. So those are kind of ones that you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, Pliny's not even a hazy. It's more just, you know, but those kind of beers is never, never an issue with me having those. But sometimes I just want that clear, just smack you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't feel as heavy drinking them, but hazies have their place. And I think they really helped save a lot of the beer industry with the innovations that hazies do.
Yeah, 1,000%, because I feel like anytime you, like, if you talk to people that are newly into craft beer, like, a lot of times they say, like, yeah, it was a hazy, like, I started drinking a hazy, or I started drinking a sour.
That's right.
Because, like, the whole haze craze happened, and, like, there was, like, everybody had, like, 10 different hazies on their menu.
Yeah.
And it was, like, but, I mean, it's good, though, because it got people, you know, to go in and try something different. And then, you know, sometimes they try that and then they might try a West Coast, or they might, you know, try like a West Coast Pilsner or, you know, stuff like that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I did want you to tell us about alesharpton.com, because I mean, I want to be able to, so everyone can go out and check out your stuff.
Of course. It's fun. I like that platform is to let people know what's going on and really show love to other breweries. So alesharpton.com is always something where people, like, if I have an event going on, I'll have a press release on there and things that kind of keep things structural. I think my Instagram is something that just kind of shows a lot of what I do on the regular. It's hard to update, man. It's so much stuff to put in content stuff. So I try to keep it refreshed as much as possible, but I really love the platform because I'm into photography and videography now, but also just, it's a good way to kind of give immediate attention to something I have going on. So my Instagram is Real Ale Sharpton, R-E-A-L-A-L-E Sharpton. And it's just fun. And I really enjoy putting stuff on there when I have the time. I'm about to travel a lot, man. Working with a few companies and stuff. We're on the consulting side, which has really been my thing. That's really a big favorite of mine. Be it beverage, food, or I'm a creative director. So logos, coming up with advertising, come up with campaigns. Yeah. That's just the shit I went to school for, and I really can wake up in the morning. If that was the only thing I was going to do for the rest of my life, I would love to do that. Somehow BRB orientated into that, but this is my thing. I love creative direction, man. This is something, and then clothing, of course, which is my thing too. So that kind of, those two, I'm rocking and rolling. But yeah, thanks for asking about my website. I appreciate that.
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, that's like, I was like, I had this whole intro planned in my head. I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about Hero Order and Writer and all these different things. And then I just, like, you know, I get on here with you and I was just like, you know, get a little starstruck with you just because, like, you know, all the stuff you've accomplished in your life, man. That's like,
that means a lot, brother.
Yeah.
These things, like, a lot of people look to see, you're not the case with this, but, how many numbers do they have or all that kind of thing? I'm a more about a person who's about passion and being accessible when I can. I'm all over the place, but I really appreciate what you do and all the people who've interviewed me, because you at the same time are showing respect for the grind I put in. And my thing, what I used to do before even being Ale Sharpton, was interviewing rappers or interviewing executives of companies for various magazines and people I've worked with. I work with a shitload of media people.
That's awesome.
And I've interviewed these people where I'm like, you know, the starstruck thing you said, or just in general, having so much respect for what they've done. I said, one day, if I'm ever in that position, I'm not going to be a dick to that. I want to be a person who's going to be accessible and really enjoy the interviews and all that, because I love asking people questions about their life story. And I've met a lot of cool celebrities, and even Al Sharpton read about me in Forbes magazine and flew down to meet me. And
awesome.
That kind of stuff is dope. Like, I'm like, he's like, no, forget about me. Let me know about you and more about your story. I was like, I was floored by that. Those are things that are very reciprocal and very just dope. But in your case, I just appreciate you having me on, and I really wish you much success of what you got going on with your podcast, man. And once you get me on and do all your technical things, I'd love to share it and
For sure,
and keep rocking, man. But yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, I love, like, and that's why, I mean, I like to do, like, the Instagram spotlight episodes. I like to go talk to people at breweries, and, like, that's why I wanted to have Latrice on, because, I mean, I feel like beer education is so important, and you're like, you know, and it's like just getting people, like, you know, if I can talk to people in, you know, different states, like, you know, like, you know, you're in Georgia and I can talk to people in New York, and then it almost becomes like travel too. So if you go to those places, you can go like, I remember Mike had an episode with so-and-so in Atlanta, or like, or someone in say Pennsylvania. Oh, and they mentioned these breweries. So then they can go do that and then support those local communities when they're traveling too. So
there you go. Yeah. We all got to work together on this, man. And you know, it's beyond, you know, stardom and being a celebrity on, it's all about supporting our people, man. And I love working in beer world, 'cause honestly, to me, it's one of the most down to earth.
It really is.
Industries. Yeah. In general, man, it just, the people, when you hear about how the brewer started, another key thing, what I love about breweries is they embrace maybe 90% of the time their local community.
Mm-hmm.
So, or why they started in this city. There's a great story to that. You ask any brewery owner, they usually would have something that talks about why they set up shop in this city. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, or town, or little, you know, even, you know, it's just always a great story. And it's them fighting and scrapping because it's not she, the brewing industry. They can make it that way, but all is really a struggle that hopefully there's a reward at the end.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's what, you know, like, and that's why I feel like this is kind of like my reward, because I get to talk to people like you and I get to talk to.
Appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, like that to me, that's the best. And then we get to have a beer and, you know, essentially just shoot the shit and, you know, and find out about somebody's life, because like we said earlier, like everybody's trying to get to the same place, but
that's right.
I mean, we're just, you know, just a couple guys having a couple beers.
That's right. That's right. With a good passion of making people better all the way around. That's what I'm about.
Oh yeah. And try to make people happy with the stuff that you put out.
Hell yeah, man. I appreciate you. If you can't make this event, that's all good. But I have so many other things going on. I'm working alongside the Giving Kitchen, which is a great, great organization, man. And they initially started in the food industry to help out people who are in need, people who get hurt on the job, people who might have even got fired or someone who got sick and needed some help financially. This thing started with a homie, Jen, and the rest of the organization. And what they do is it's a nonprofit and they help them. But I'm helping them on the beer side to kind of expand it even more, where people in the brewing industry, something might happen to them. There's always something that's going on in both the culinary and beverage industry that where the workers definitely need some help. So I love working with them. They're good people. They have a thing called Team Heidi coming up, which is dope. I have it on my Instagram, but I really just am about giving and helping people out, man. It's really a passion. It makes me go to bed at night a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's definite avenues that where we can all explore that down the line.
Yeah. I mean, it's about, you know, showing empathy, and it's about, like, you know, being there for one another. And, like, you know, because it's real easy to be an asshole. But it's a lot harder to be just a good person and to do good in this world. So,
yeah. I mean, should be a bumper sticker. It's really easy to be an asshole.
Yeah. So just be nice. I quote Mr. Feeney all the time from Boy Meets World. I always say, yeah, do good.
That's it.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know what I want to ask you too? Did you ever try brewing?
Yes. I brewed one of my homies, man, John Sherry. I judged his beers for a lot of events and he just kept winning. I'm like, dude, you're a bad mouth.
Yeah.
And when you're ready, I would love to help your journey. I know you have dreams to do something bigger. And he said, yeah, I do. But he's a gentle giant, man. But he can brew. And he was with his brother who brewed with him for a while. But then he just took it. And I said, I want to make a beer with you. So I got with him. And then my brother Lamont made a beer with him. And my first beer I made with him was called Chocolate Mint Pimp. And it was a chocolate mint stout. And that was the first beer I actually brewed in. Was fire. It was 10% and delicious, and
that it sounds was so amazing.
Scientific. When you actually brew and see how hard it is, and checking the temperatures and watching it, and it's like it's culinary, it's chemistry. Like, brewers are geniuses to me, because at the end of the day, they don't get enough credit, man.
Oh yeah,
they don't get credit for. And even biologically, to know what they're going to make. And then,
like, it's
nuts, man. So, and then there's the design element. Beer brings a lot of that together.
Mm-hmm.
So with him, though, which is really great, we worked with him. I started just like getting the word out, helping him get the word out. Because he's very soft-spoken. He started entering a lot more competitions. He kept winning, especially known for his stouts. But he makes everything.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Now he has a brewery called Little Cottage. And it's in Evandale Estates, which is voted many times as and awarded as one of the best small beer cities in the country. So he opened up and he's killing it.
That's awesome.
He's in heavy metal. So that's his thing. And he plays, he has a whole vibe. And now he's just that dude. And I'm just happy about that. So to answer your question, that was my first beer. And then I went on to making another beer with him. And then my brother made beer with him. And then I made a beer with New Belgium. And that was one where they brought me in as a consultant to help diversify not only their community and their workforce and be more cognizant of what's going on in the world, but also just in terms of just diversifying in general on a holistic level. And they said, I said, I'll come in. And I think making a beer would be the best deal to do that as a consultant. They said, but making a beer, we got to come up with the concept and the style. I said, I had everything. So when I met with them, dude, I had the whole design of Piano Keys written out. I called it Piano Keys because it's a chocolate vanilla imperial stout. And I picked that.
Wow.
They're like, why you pick that? And I said, I'm picking that because y'all don't make stouts like that.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, I love it. But then we got to come up with the design. I had it all. I'm an artist as well. So I had it all drawn out. You hear me out, Piano Keys, Campbell? Shout out to my wife. She's looking out for me.
Thanks. Shout out to your wife. Thanks for letting us do this for a bit.
I'm a jazz fanatic, so I implemented that into it. So ebony ivory, chocolate vanilla, but also black white. People coming together.
Yeah.
So the can came out super dope. This is it.
Oh, I love that.
And arguably the first black man to be on a can, his name on there, Al Sharpton. So that's there.
It's just
this design here with the piano. Then I designed the clothing for it, which is really fun. And then the fundraising element with Brewgather, where we raise funds for urban community, urban gardens, and go from there. So, man, it's an awesome journey. I do collaborate with a lot of different people, but I don't do too many collaborations. It's more about maybe the design, which I love, or merch ideas, which I clothing and concepts. That's my shit. So,
oh, of course. I mean, and you got to.
I'm going to give you one of these. There's only like not many left, and they're not on sale. They're gone. They're sold out. But this is more of a collector's thing, but I'm going to save one for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. And the more, because you said it was like a vanilla stout. Chocolate vanilla.
And the chocolate's from Africa, where I'm really keeping it real.
There you go.
London, it's not a game out here. And that was made by Chocolato, which is a small boutique chocolatier here in Atlanta. So they were like, we're going to get their nibs and get it shipped over to Colorado, and we made
it there.
How
cool is that?
And this is year six, so it's nutty, bro.
I try to
do as much legendary shit with my name associated as possible.
That's awesome, brother.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, like you're talking about all the stuff that you're doing, because, I mean, like you said, you're a photographer, you're also a speaker, you're a beer judge. Like, what's the speaking aspect of it too? Like, how often are you doing that? A lot, or beer judging and all that stuff too?
It's very consistent. I'm going to Kansas City. There's a beer weekend going on, and I'm a part of a film that's winning awards worldwide called One Pint at a Time. Shout out to Aaron Jose, his lovely wife, B, and they are killing it, and it's all over the place. And it's a documentary about the trials and tribulations of black brewers and how hard it is to get in the industry, but it's so heartfelt, and I'm part of that, which I'm proud to say. So they're doing a screening, which is really dope. And then they're putting it on by Vine Street, and they're flying me out there to have a good time, but also bring some awareness to what's going on with stuff. So shout out to them, and that's in Kansas City. Again, MB2A is going to be heavily involved with a lot of stuff. But yeah, man, it's a movement, man. And then we're doing AleMax in Nashville the next day, the 23rd. So we're bringing in Bearded Iris. We're doing something there, which is going to be amazing as well. So I'm spreading the word around and love for beer, man, wherever I can go. But speaking, I love to do it because you're never nervous when you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I tell a lot of people and that, a lot of kids. I'm going to schools and talking to kids, and you don't push the beer thing too much, but also talk about my life as writing about cars and writing about clothing, writing about sneakers, being an influencer in a lot of other ways. And so the kids loved it, man. I'm talking to, I think the grade was sixth grade this time, but then there's eighth grade. I'm going to be doing that and speaking to them. But it's not just about beer, but it's all about journalism, writing about design, anything that's really dope. So I try to tap in all my talents and do what I love. So I wake up in the morning, I have to say, oh, fuck, I go to work. It's going to go. Let's get to work.
Oh, yeah. Adam, you have to, when you do what you do, you have to attack life with that zeal and that vigor, willing to just go after it.
But you're doing it too, man. And you have your podcast, and I know you're not like oh, damn, I got to do this interview tonight. It's more like I already get the vibe that you're just really about, you know, learning about people, but also getting your brand out there, man. I wish you much success in what you're doing.
Nah, man, I really appreciate it. And that's what it's all about for me. Just being able to hear the success stories. And if, you know, if it motivates one person, then like I said, that's it. And I've done my job. So it makes me happy though. You mentioned earlier, like the cars and stuff. Cause I did want to ask you about, cause I saw your thing that cruising for a bruising, but like, like bruising like a beer. Could you tell us about that?
Definitely. I've always had a love for cars, and there was just a situation where I met the right people. There was not a lot of Black representation as well. I guess I find a way. Ivy League schools, cars, beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Black representation is just not like popping like that.
Yeah.
But it just was something fun where I got in at the right time. And cars, of course, is not associated with beer. Very, very cognizant of that and very careful of that. But also it's about the design. And I'm more of a, when I talk about it, more just down to earth and talking about what I think is really dope about the cars, where a lot of people who are experts talk about a lot more of the powertrain, all this other kind of stuff. I think this is really cool. And I do talk about powertrain, but it's more of just on a kind of broader level, but at the same time, giving respect to executives and people working the car industry, which I love to do. I'm a people person. So I talk about them and how there's so many journeys to get to where you are to be executive in the car industry, which is amazing too. And it's like, wow, well, I used to work in this factory and then I met somebody. It's the same thing with beer in a lot of ways. But yeah, so the car thing is just something that's really fun to do as well.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And like, the video series, is it it's about beers and it's obviously about cars. Do you have like a favorite kind of like do you like old like muscle cars or what are you into?
You know what? I can't do muscle cars in Atlanta, man. First of all, traffic.
Okay.
But there's one damn thing to change. If there was maybe a subway system or something, I don't know what we can do, but the traffic is horrendous. But
yeah.
I don't care. I love the city this much. And so does everybody else who lives here. It keeps moving here knowing the traffic sucks. LA shit is not.
It's terrible.
It's not a walk in the park either.
Yeah.
We're top three worst traffic cities in the nation. But muscle cars is not a great place to experiment with them. So I love to drive them. But it's more just about technology.
Oh, for
sure. Cars are popping right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about comfort. I love leather seats and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And smooth driving cars. So that's my thing. And design, of course, the way it looks and all that type of thing. But I don't need to be exotic guy. I don't need to pull up and think I'm the thing with a Lamborghini, which is crazy. I love Lamborghini trucks and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm just more a broader person and respecting technology and things that cars introduce every year.
Oh, for sure. And it's funny.
So more up-to-date guy.
Oh yeah, and it's funny how you mentioned traffic. Like we always, what I've been saying out here lately is like we don't measure it by miles; we measure by minutes it's going to take to get there.
Oh gosh, I have so many shortcuts, and my wife used to give me a problem with saying, "Why do you keep using Waze? We're going right here." I said, "Because there's going to be something that will stop us, and we got to know some other place Waze to go there." See Waze? Oh, that's there. It is. Damn.
Yeah,
they're good marketers. But but now she's like, "Okay, I get it." You know what I mean? It's like, even something that's 10 minutes away, I'm looking to see if make sure we're good. It's on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Same. Like, I mean, anytime I go somewhere, I still pop it in the GPS just to see like, all right, how long, when I'm going to get there.
You got to.
Even though I've been to the same liquor store 1,000 times.
Right. Hey, you got to look and see what's popping, man.
Exactly.
But yeah, I love Atlanta, man. You'll see why when you come here to hang out, man, and definitely look forward to kicking it with you.
Oh yeah, man, that'll be a blast. And like, and almost perfect segue because we talked about Waze a little bit, but you also have Always, Always Open.
Yeah, Always Open.
Yeah, tell us
about
that.
You're good. You did some research. I respect you on that.
Yeah.
I spell it a little differently, A-L-L, and then Waze Open, O-Z, just the regular way. But I started that with two brothers, Mike Moore and Eric Nine, and we wanted to start doing art shows in Atlanta and produce them.
Okay.
And these guys are amazing in their own ways, in a lot of ways, doing just things that would incorporate what talent Atlanta has. And we did, honestly, I'm going to say it right now, I would say the that's our show in Atlanta. But okay. Maya Bailey, a lot of people doing a lot of different things. We all have our own opinions. But we did one with Hebrew Brantley, which was sick. And it was at Lowe's Hotel. And it was just something for the ages. And we were always about doing something. See, always again. Doing yeah. something different. And from there, I just took that creative energy and did a lot of producing of art shows, beer events, movie screenings, whatever the case is, and utilizing my creative energy and direction to make something even better. So there's mural events that I'm doing now, beautifying this lovely city of Atlanta, but also just in general, that's my creative agency. So Always Open is just something that I feel proud about. So thank you for knowing about that, man. That's something that I always have in the background is what I do. Always Open represents me.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. And that's what, like, you know, you want to be able to, you want to be that guy, because it's almost, I mean, I always like kind of quote Shawshank all the time. I always say, get busy living or get busy dying, like Red says.
There
and
you
it's
go.
Like, and you got to keep, you know, you got to keep those things, you know, you got to keep yourself going. Like you have to push yourself every day.
That's right, brother. You know, and when you're an entrepreneur like yourself, people say, when you not working, and I said, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to get a text or something that involves your talents and your mm-hmm. skills, and that's working. So it could be at the middle of the night, it could be in the morning, but you're always working to help you, you know, better yourself and broaden your horizons with stuff and be successful. And we got to eat. We got to make yep. that paper.
So, you know it.
You know, why not do it with your skills that you're blessed with?
Oh, exactly. And that's what it's, you know, it's all about, you know, being able to, because I mean, like you said, like, we're always working. It could be 5 in the morning. It could be 6 in the morning. There's times where I wake up and I'm like, oh, wait a second. I got to work on this thing. Or I got to make sure to have a post for this, like, you know, a post for this specific day during the week yeah. or stuff like that.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's That's like, right. thank goodness for scheduling. Cause then I could do a bunch, I can do a bunch of stuff online and be able to set it up to just schedule it to go out. So thankfully there's that, but there are days where it's like, yeah, it's super busy and, you know, we're trying to get through it, but we do it because
it's
we love it.
It's your passion. It's your yep. love. You know, and I love writing still. I maintain my journalism, whether it's through social media or articles. So working with people like Thrillist and Infatuation, I got to mm-hmm. give them a shout out, man. They really, and my homegirl Nina and everybody who's there, they really are open to broadening the platform in terms of people and their audience. They really embrace the cultures. They're really big on diversity. So I just did one interviewing 3 Black authorities in the beer industry about pairing their favorite dish in Atlanta with a beer. And that was really an awesome time. So I love still writing and all that. It's just finding the time to make that a perfect
oh, yeah.
fit. Yeah.
I mean, and you're a busy man, but I mean, like when opportunity strikes or if it's That's something it. That like, you know, like something that sparks in your head, I mean, then you'll go back to it.
Dig it right on, my man.
Do you have, like when it comes to food pairings, because that one thing I always love to ask people too is like burgers, wings, or pizza, or we can throw tacos in there too, because we did talk about tacos a little earlier. But what would be your favorite thing? Like, so if you were going to have like, oh, that with a beer, like one of those foods with a beer, what would you prefer?
Tacos, because you diversify a lot more. If you're having a burger, you can have a lot of different burgers and stuff like
yeah.
that, get that. But with tacos, man, it's just the hands-on.
Oh yeah,
feel of it, and then the shell, and I'm a corn, a tortilla guy. I just
oh,
feel
same
to me.
Oh yeah,
and then when I go to Cali, I make sure I get the real deal tacos. You feel me?
Oh, there you go.
But I think that one, because then you can have fish in there, you can have chicken, you have vegetables. Mm-hmm. My diet is actually pretty strict. I get clowned on a lot, and this is
people
out there envious to know that I have the restriction to know what to eat and what not to eat.
Okay,
but. Because I drink a lot of beer as it is, so I want to yeah. have a little bit of balance to say what I don't and do eat.
Oh, yeah.
But tacos, you could just have so many herbs and spices and different types of things that go into it. And it's not a lot. A burger is a lot to me. Eating a burger is a lot of a meal. But having a taco, I can order which we did tonight, a veggie, a fish, and a chicken. And then there's different beers I would pair with that as it is.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go with tacos, brother.
Okay.
I'm Jamaican. There's a lot of Jamaican food.
Nice.
And there's a lot of, I'm a Thai food is honestly my favorite food. I've been to Thailand 3 times. And even here, though, American Thai spots are authentic. And that's my favorite style of food. I'm good with that. There have a lot of non-dairy items that I really get in with, and they're still delicious. So
That's awesome. I mean, maybe. I mean, as long as like you have your food, I mean, you have like you have good food, good beer, and what more do you need?
That's it, brother, man. Yeah. So a good question. Yeah, I would say Thai food and tacos.
Nice. Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you, because I don't want to keep you too long, but so, and we talked a little bit about sports. So do you have like, you know, so you were a Yankee fan, but I know you were hanging out in Atlanta.
Big sports fan.
Yeah. So what are some of your other teams?
Honestly.
Or do you have your favorite sports, maybe?
The only team I'm loyal to is the Yankees, just because I grew up with them since I was born. My dad is from the Bronx. So it was like, there was no question. Phil Rizzuto and 11 Alive when I was in Ithaca, that was it. It was Yankees. So that's easy money is the only team. But I'm a player person. So I was initially Dr. J, then it was Dominique Wilkins, and then it was Kobe, and then it was Kevin Durant. I respect a lot of players, so I follow wherever they're going. And and it's amazing to make it where I was a Lakers fan because Kobe was on there. But like, yeah. In general, I'm following the guys I really F with. And then football, a lot of my uncles and godfathers played football, so I would just follow the teams they were. So that would be the Chargers, my uncle Wilbur Young. He had like 13 and a half sacks one season and got tripped from the all-pro team, which I'm very salty about still. Wilbur Young, check him out. And then Tony Gonzalez is a cousin of mine, so he played with the tight end.
Yeah, one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest.
There you go, right? So I follow these people that are family, so I didn't really have a team there, but I'm a fantasy football player.
Okay.
So it's about whoever's on my fantasy squad, honestly. I'm in four leagues. I help run one called the Draftsman, which has a lot of just beer people in, which is really competitive, which is really fun. But I'm a sports guy. I'm a hockey guy. I used to write about hockey, and I did an article on enforcers. I did an article on black players in hockey.
Awesome.
Which is really dope. So, yeah, I'm a hockey guy. I started like fighting back, which is the perfect balance. Of, I think, what's happening here. So this dude from Rangers, I forgot his name, but he's starting to bring that kind of fighting element. He talked about it on my favorite show, PTI, Party of Interruption, and they talked about how it's like kind of starting to come back, which is really dope. Oh, they talked about it on Pat McAfee's show.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, the player, because he used to play for somebody else. He used to play for the Knights, and then he went to the Rangers. Yeah. But I know who you're talking about, who likes to throw down.
This guy's a rookie.
He's a rookie. Okay.
Yeah. And I thought it was a different guy. He's walking around. But you're talking about,
I can't think of his name right now.
Is it brother? Kane. You talking about Kane?
No, it's
You're not talking about Vander? Okay.
Oh no, I think it might be someone. I'd have to look.
It's all good.
Yeah, I have to figure that out.
I know all the enforcers. Talking Jay Miller, Craig Berube. I'm talking about McSorley. Peter Rowell. I'm talking about Danny Lacroix.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's that thing going on there that. Is George Lacroix, sorry. There are people out there that are menaces, and I just wish for that to come back a little bit.
But, I mean, that's one thing I love about, hockey, and I love hockey as well. I grew up like an Avalanche fan, because I never was into it.
Patrick Waugh, that time.
Oh, yeah, it was Joe Sakic for me. Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg and Chris Drury.
Edmonton's my squad.
Rob Blake. Oh, okay, the Oilers, nice.
Edmonton, because of Grant Fuhr, originally. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, Gretzky just happened to be in there.
Of course.
But then there's Messi, and then they had those snipers there. Mm-hmm. And then, I think Edmonton is my joint. But when we had the Thrashers, that was always so much fun.
Those are just kind of like a throwback. Like hearing that name just like brought back like memories of like NHL hits 2002 for like the GameCube or whatever it was, or the PlayStation 2.
What name?
The Thrashers. Hearing the Thrashers.
Made
me think of those games, because that was like one of my favorite games I ever played was like NHL hits 2002, and I would play this because it was 3-on-3 hockey, and it was like all the open ice. It was just it was so fun to play.
Man. Tell you, and video games, dude, I personally and on purposely do not play, because I would just be so engaged. Like Madden, I'm too much of a sports fan. I've never played Madden in my life.
Yeah.
That's really? Like saying I'm never going to try crack.
Yeah.
Because I know how addictive that shit is. And I hear stories and I see how my boys like, I'm about to go play Madden. I'm like, nope. Tecmo was the last cutoff. Tecmo Bowl.
Okay.
Banger Super game. Tecmo Bowl. And then after that, I'm like, I can't. I just would be too much into it. And, you know, I like to maintain my relationship, make it my entrepreneur. So it's hard to,
Sure.
I always got to be places. I just know it'd be trouble, man. I know.
Oh, yeah. And I'm kind of the same way because I love video games, but I will not Call of Duty. I love adventure kind of style games or with a story, but. And when I would play, I would notice, I'd be playing and then 5 hours would go by. I'd be wait a second, what happened? almost waking up from a blackout. How did I get here? Kind of thing. what time is it? When did it get dark?
War games. I'll play some spades though. I'll bust some asses.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Spades is always fun. Thing. Poker's always fun with the boys and, all that sort of stuff. And then, then you get to have a few beers. And, one thing we used to do is we used to get, some of the guys together and we'd get, different, they'd bring a beer or two from a brewery, that they knew about and get together and kind of share that sort of stuff. Almost like craft trading, but close by.
No doubt, man. Always bottle share is always dope. I host those. I did a really dope one last year, co-hosted by Garrett Oliver, who I talked about before. Mm-hmm. And we did it for the National Black Brewers Association. And that was dope. That was an amazing experience. And that was in Nashville. So that was... That was really dope, man. So,
that's gotta awesome. Keep it going. Oh yeah, man. And like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. Do you have anything else coming up that you want to promote or plug or anything?
ALMEX is my most immediate thing, but then that's March 22nd and 23rd, one in Atlanta and then Nashville.
Okay.
But also, I got some things in the works, honestly, and I don't like to talk about them to totally in there because
Okay.
I don't like to overpromise.
But no worries.
I appreciate you asking. Team Heidi's coming up again. That's with Giving Kitchen, which is going to be an amazing experience. But besides that, you'll know it on my Instagram, again, Real Ale Sharpton, and then on my website, which is alesharpton.com. But shout out to you, man, and thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you. And we'll be in touch.
No, sounds good.
I get to keep you with you in Orange County, too, man.
Oh, dude, I'm down, man. We'll take you to all the spots over here.
Let's go. Let's get it cracking.
Let's do it. So, yeah. So, we'll stay on and we'll chat for a few minutes. You guys don't get to hear that, but we'll stay on and chat for a couple minutes, brother. All
right. Peace, y'all.
Thanks, brother.
My man.
All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with my buddy Dennis Malcolm Byron at Real Ale Sharpton on Instagram. So, make sure you check it out. Now, we're at the What's New at Noble segment of the episode. And I have, from my left to right, we have Josh, Paul, Jimmy, and Cam. What's going on, fellas?
Well, we're tired. No. Let's just start this with one word.
Okay.
Maybe it's two. Honey badgers.
Honey badgers.
Oh, got it. Not honey badgers just don't give a. We heard honey badgers don't give a about, we don't know, but we're also there's people in need.
But back in, they don't care. That's what we said, remember?
Yeah, it's us.
Honey badgers are narcissistic.
Yeah.
There it is. Beer name.
Well, that's how we like to start stuff. So let's go. Yeah.
Fun fact of the day.
Speaking of that, I can't, kind of leads into, I don't know, West Coast IPAs.
That's what's
been going on with that? You got to start with me.
Dang.
What do we got here?
That's I don't know. What do we got?
That's your new
what do we got?
West Coast I just pulled out.
Gosh, we got third one, which is the one that was supposed to be like, for me personally, kind of, we finally get to that point where I'm really happy with ours. And I am happy with this. But not to change the subject of the beer we're talking about, is both our IPAs this time around were kind of on point, I feel.
We all have napkins under our beers.
Literally, I put them and be passed around. Let's go.
No, you're all good.
Let's go.
Oh, it's been a fun day so far.
Oh, I bet.
It's just going to get better.
And tomorrow is St. Patty's Day. Tomorrow is also Paul's birthday.
Yeah. Happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
So this is Dogs Are Noble.
Yeah.
The new West Coast. We can talk about it after we drink here. Cheers.
What were the names that came before this?
My bad.
We started with Giraffes. Giraffes are cool. And it was just a simple play, stupid, but it was everything kind of meshed up. And then it was Tigers Are Awesome. And now we finally made it to, which is Dogs Are Noble, which, I think.
That's my jam.
Yeah, keep talking.
Pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right up my alley right there.
Yeah, it's getting to where we want to be, finally.
Yeah. Because you're always up my alley for some reason. I mean, you know, like your beers are, is what I meant to say.
You know,
what are we talking about?
We don't need to talk about that right here.
Either way, you know.
Let's go.
Wait, what kind of podcast is this, Mike?
Yeah.
We all have a little bit of Mike in our face right now.
There you go.
If anyone's noticed.
Oh,
come
man.
On, man.
Damn.
We were supposed to talk about that during John time.
Oh, yeah. You know it. Oh, yeah. So tell us about Dog.
So this is just, it is kind of growing on our use of New Zealand hops and different products. So this is just like the same base we've been using grain-wise with in the dry hop. It's Rewaka and Nelson with a little bit of Waimea. So like the fruitiness you get is that Waimea up front. And you get the Rewaka that gives it that kind of almost like caddy-like flavor. And mm-hmm. then the Rewaka Keef, which is something that like Freestyle does, like the liquid stuff that we used to shy away from, you know, like 5 years ago. And it's gotten so good. It gives this nice passion fruit flavor to it that kind of builds with the Waimea while at the same time, like letting the dankness stay there. Like, so I feel like you get a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of grassiness, a little bitiness, but you also get that flavor at the end. So,
and it's a really clean finish too.
Yeah.
It's not like something that's just like lingering, you know, on your palate. Like it's really, it, you get all those flavors, but it really goes down smooth.
Yeah. So we intentionally try to dry them out simply so like and build the body back with carbonation. So you get the same flavor, you get more pop, but it disintegrates off your palate quickly.
Yeah.
So you can have another taste, you know, it's fresh, doesn't linger and compound itself. You know, you get those beers, they bitter in the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. Like that's basically the goal there is to try and make it like easy drinking.
Awesome. No, maybe you killed it on this. Solid. And I love the can artwork.
Yeah.
So, and it was, what's the guy's name? I forgot. Sorry.
But the normal, the, you're talking about the style, artistic style? Or?
Oh, no, the artist that does the.
Mike artwork. David Weeks.
I knew it was another Mike.
Yeah, another Mike.
This really no label. Label.
So, yeah, he, we've been, like I said, we're keeping with the play, keeping the same theme together. We put some of the employees' dogs on the cans that we could get on there. So it has a little more meaning to it. And,
yeah.
And we're hoping Jimmy sent this off for competition. So hopefully,
awesome.
He was happy about this one. So hopefully this can, you know, we can pull a medal out of this one. We go to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, sweet. I think everything he submitted is.
Yeah.
Has a chance. So
this is one of, how many we put? Five?
Five.
Yeah. Five. Yeah. Five in.
Awesome. So. That's exciting. And when's Vegas?
April 21st, 22nd.
Yeah.
21st.
Or something there. 20, like 20 is 20, 21st, 23rd through the 23rd.
Okay. Nice. We're going to keep an eye out for it. No, but you get, this is killer.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. So Paul, what are you doing for your birthday?
Come on, talk about
so
it.
You let in with like what the conversation started with, like, can't say anything.
Yeah, don't get too shy, buddy.
All right, we're pushing this live tonight, right?
This will be out tomorrow.
So what I'm hearing tonight is that there's gonna be a Ramones cover band at Noble.
Yeah.
We're gonna be throwing down here. Then we're gonna wake up. By wake up, I mean wake up and drink a zombie, because that's why the zombie was invented, for those
there
who don't
go.
Know. The story of a zombie cocktail was a businessman who happened to be passing through, played a little too hard, and still had to go to a conference.
Okay.
Where the zombie was born.
Yeah.
You know, from a bartender who was like, I got to get this guy up.
Nice. There
let's,
it is.
Let's not just read it with that comment. Yeah.
And how are you getting up?
That is a hard left right there. So hard left.
You were telling me such a good story, and Josh ruined it.
Right, just
I was like, my bad. You had me hooked.
Comedy of like the dog in the background. He was just like knew shit was going down, and he's just like
classic.
So yeah, doing that. Maybe hitting Muldoon's tomorrow morning, getting some Irish coffee, some, you know, authentic dancing, and then off to Disney.
Nice. There you go.
I'm gonna do some like beer yoga.
I mean, there is beer yoga here tomorrow, which is actually today because it's going to be published tomorrow. So it's already happened in the past by the time you hear it.
Exactly. It's like we're back to the future.
But if you were to look it up, $20, you get a pint.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's from 12 to 1:30, and we'll have it again next month. So,
yeah. So
awesome.
For future
on that. No. Hey, future us might actually be us again if future us actually makes a fucking time machine.
That sounds about right.
Wow.
Dude, you already got me.
It sounds like sound. You, hey, sound
this,
logic.
This is what happens when we drink and we run, and then
we drink and we run.
Run.
Yeah.
And what do we do after that?
Drink and run.
Yeah. And we celebrate. Yeah.
Guys, we only ran once. What are you guys talking about?
What do you call that, Josh?
A beer mile. We all struggled with a quarter of a mile.
Yeah,
hey, we can't
struggle.
I think we did. 100%. Had he been 100%, we would have been good.
Hey, we all
you did, dude. You'd really good. But I say we would if you would have been 100%.
We Josh, if your hands were up in the air, we would have been good.
To quote Dom Toretto, we all can't live our lives one a quarter mile at a time.
I mean, we kind of did this morning.
Yeah,
there you go.
Kind of
for those that don't know what happened, we hosted a beer mile this morning, and that's basically a gang of running groups come out. People, I mean, we had people from the IE, LA, OC, San Diego. I mean, people come far and wide to get to this, and it's the weirdest thing. It's literally us setting out a bunch of beer, a 12-ounce can. These people pay to show up, dress fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got St. Paddy's Day this weekend.
Yep.
And they drink a beer, and they run a quarter mile, and they do this four times.
Yeah.
Repeat. We broke up. So we had, like, I don't know, six total groups or five total groups, and our last one was a team relay. That's where we all jumped in.
Okay.
So each one of us just ran a leg. But for brewers and front of the house.
No, thank you. I'm good. One mile's enough. One quarter mile, and
all of us already have like dysfunctional body parts, so we're all just struggling anyway.
We're all just broken. If you guys can imagine us right now, like imagine a cartoon lineup where one of them's got like a cast around its leg, that one's got a full body cast. Maybe one around the
one
head.
Has a helmet.
It's a special.
Don't make fun of my helmet.
I mean, you are wearing a blue hat right now with a yellow line.
Oh, jeez.
If anyone remembers Crank Yeager,
put the hat back on.
That way. Crank Yeager is
yeah.
Well, it identifies me. You know? Yeah. Tells everybody, you know.
We're He's here special. In support. Don't worry.
But it was a good day today. We had a good
mile. Yeah, we had like 100 people show out.
Fine.
Really good actual day. Runners show up, plus their friends and family. I mean, we had a guy bring his entire family from L.A.
The guy that ran the jeans?
Yeah, ran in jeans and Converse.
No shit.
And have you know, these are mostly runners that are out here. Like, we have some very competitive people. Hokas and Asics and all sorts of fun, you know, footwear.
Yeah.
This guy's wearing high top Converse that aren't even laced all the way up to the top.
You sure they weren't PF Flyers?
No. I like it.
Hey, but we did come in second.
We came in second.
Yeah. Not by much. We almost won. Yeah.
We almost seconds.
Yeah.
4 seconds.
Close. Very close.
It was almost there. It was fun. We got another one coming up, though, at some point, right?
Yeah, so June time, we're going to plan. Hopefully, in a couple weeks, we'll have announcements for it. But we're going to do something different. It's going to be a 5K. You can drink beforehand or afterwards, but no beer drink in between. But we're looking in getting some really big inflatables.
Okay.
To start the race off. And
wait, can you
the eye contact at this time of the team?
Can you just kind of immediately
inflatable?
Okay. We're looking at getting 250-foot off the course.
You know what? Inflatable.
No. Okay. I think I've got a better idea.
I'm
going to be honest.
What
this is the team relay, and you got to take an inflatable with you.
That's actually pretty good, too. night run. Do a night run. Put your underwear night run.
There you go.
Are we going back to college?
I mean, we do have Chapman, like, right there.
Yeah,
they are. We have them all over here, maybe.
Yeah. Chapman, Fullerton? Mm-hmm. I think we could have a feud.
There you get it. Yeah, but
that's settled.
God.
But at least you in time, that's the plan, is we're going to do an inflatable obstacle course.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
He's trying to get
doing an obstacle course run to start.
Oh, what sort of course?
Be appropriate.
Inflatable.
No.
Just inflatable.
Like, yeah, just like American Gladiators.
Yeah. Obstacle course.
Obstacle.
Obstacle.
I'm on like Jimmy and Cam.
I didn't do hooks on what?
To be like Nitro on American Gladiators. So you guys have
and then we're just knocking it out.
That's actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Let's go.
Give me a sword.
A sword?
I just tried to roll one of those little cage balls, those ball cages.
Q-tip. I got Q-tip. Yeah.
There you go. Just make sure everybody signs a waiver before and we're good.
Yeah.
If they get bounced out onto the concrete, that's on them.
That'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the plan in June. We'll hopefully in about 3 weeks we'll have announcements on that one.
Awesome. Okay.
Be fun.
So that actually means like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, that is correct. We gotta extend it. Yeah.
Okay.
Just get ready for June. Just mark June. Somewhere
June in June. Your calendar. It'll be all right. So let's should we jump into the next one?
We can. I think so.
Cheers, my baby.
Jimmy's just looking for a little cheers, love.
Yeah.
Just pour me some beer.
He just want to say hi.
I want to make sure he's always got some beer in
him. He's trying to touch tips.
It has got those.
So, right now we are passing out Paul's Majestic.
Paul's Majestic.
Paul's Majestic, huh?
Don't even worry about it. Majestic, you take it away.
All right. Let's paint the picture for people out there. I'm wearing running shorts. I have a garter on.
A sexy garter. I'm going to use my teeth and get it off.
A green garter on my right.
Unfortunately, it's right in my eyesight. It's crossed.
We have some great photos from earlier of that.
Yeah. I've got some green socks on with beers, and now I've retracted to some DC shoes.
Yeah. Well, to quote Arcad Ramathorn from Super Troopers.
not a bad reference.
Yeah.
How do you classic. Have these old, like,
they're just stored in there.
I'm like always looking for, like, I think you have like a cheat sheet up your arm or something.
No, he's written something.
He's good with the movie references.
I'm an ATM of movie references.
Yeah. He's that CIA. Good.
He's got the CIA.
Someone in the back, say this right now.
Yeah.
Son of man.
Last week, I think to end of the episode, last week I quoted from the Land of the Lost movie. It's like, it's so stupid, but it's so funny when he says, if you don't make it, it's your own damn fault. A vault. He's like, that's a bitch slap of truth right there. It's a Paul Wolting guy poster that he has. So I pull all the randomness
you
out of
my
head.
You pull all that out of your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. The more you pull out of it, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke.
Noble, step out.
and
break. And we're done.
And the episode's over. And the outro's over. All right. Well, so cheers, Felt.
Cheers.
The Felt Majestic.
Yep, Felt Majestic.
Squeezing in.
The amount of clinks.
I just want to pour on top of the microphone.
Oh, you'd be all right.
I have a feeling like a pour over a mic is not like
going to go well.
Yeah, it's changing colors right now, which I'm kind of into, but.
Yeah, that's. You're kind of into it.
He's like, I just want to touch it.
I like the change of color microphone. It, you know, draws my eyes.
There you go.
So I actually look at it for once.
Yeah, I think that's the only one that changes. Well, this one can change color, but that one doesn't. And this one I can change, but I just never mess with it. I think it's something like this.
You've only been having beer so far, right? I just want to clarify. We've only had beer today.
No fireball shots yet?
No.
Nothing else, just beer.
No cold box shots.
No cold box shots. This is
solid. I really like this, Paul.
It's fun. I looked at my text messages. I was like, all right, what's in this thing? I find this long-winded text to Jimmy, which, by the way, if it's over 6 lines, he's probably not going to read it.
You get that.
Jimmy, here's what I'm thinking. Appearance, bright, nearly white haze, like Dankadelic. Aroma, spring welcoming, bright fruit zest, citrus forward.
I just ignored all of it.
Honestly. He just does.
Yeah.
The only way you get him to actually read it is if you have fuck, bitch, ass, anything. No. You have to cuss during it, and he will actually pay attention.
He goes past aroma, mouthfeel, and flavor in the knockout procedure to 47% pills, 20% rolled oats, some white wheat, carafoam, flaked maize, and rice hulls. That's where Jimmy goes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He goes, ABV, a little worried about yeast health. Jimmy's like, we can do it.
Well, we are. There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. There it is.
We made it happen. So it's all accounts. So
it's solid though, man.
Yeah.
I really like it. I'm gonna have to grab a couple packs of each one before I go.
Well, I think it still plays in a lighter bodied hazy.
I love it.
It's easy drinking.
It's great.
Yeah.
People don't understand. Like, we got game time folks here.
Yeah.
We got game.
We got game.
We got game. Yeah. He got game. Denzel Washington.
Relax.
Sorry. It just comes. Yeah, it comes out of my head. And
everybody, come on, Mike.
Yeah, my bad.
You're killing us, okay? We lost already. Cool.
You already won, asshole.
But if you were to go to a Ducks game and you were to park here for free.
There you go.
Uh-huh. See the little drop right there?
Yeah. See what he did there?
Killed it.
You could come here and have a couple of hazies and, still get to the game.
Why spend 20
bucks? Sounds like 18 bucks a quote by some other brewer that used to say stuff about Trabuco.
Trabuco. How many can you drink and still go?
How many Trabucos can you have and then still drive?
Dude, I like seriously.
So we got some special delivery.
Some sort of substance in a green.
Here, babe, explain
how many are these. Hold on, one sec.
Alien.
Okay,
alien.
So yeah, and we're back.
All right, boys, put your things up to the mic.
Wait, what?
There you go.
Crackle pop. This is gonna be great content. We're gonna be like, what
Jimmy,
the fuck is that?
Back up.
I'm sorry. I'm over through.
All right, let's pull them off. I can see my ear, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Sorry.
No, you're fine. It honestly sounded like something was like spilling. You know, like a slow drip. Right. That's what it sounded like.
Are we supposed to tongue?
Are we gonna figure? I'm gonna figure it.
I'm a tongue.
Yeah, so we got some Jello shots here, and they have pop rocks in there.
Hey, babe, come back. We're back on a minute. Tell them what you made on here.
Yeah.
Because so, the people want to know.
Snap on pop eating.
It's literally just a Jello shot. It's just a sour apple crown whiskey Jello shot just. With some pop rocks and like a rainbow like gummy.
That's all it is.
So
you know,
do you suck yours out or do you finger it out?
I just licked the shit out of it.
I'm gonna finger the shit out of this one, too.
I usually just tongue it, but...
Well, I feel like you gotta do it, like, you finger it a little bit, tongue it, you know.
Get it out, yeah.
Yeah, like, but don't get your hands messy for that.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, babe.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Those are better than the 4th of July ones.
Those are really good.
That was good.
Those are scary good. My 4th of July?
Right? <That's true.
laughs> I did like 4th of July ones. These are better.
I mean, I'm not trying to start anything.
Yeah, the apple jelly.
Well, the birthday boy.
Wow. I spilled some on my shirt. I tried to. Oh, here it is. I tried to inhale it off,
slurp it up.
But it just hit me right in the back.
Man, that's how it is.
And that's Noble in a nutshell. Yeah. There it is. Oh,
wow. Oh my God. What time is it? Are like two?
This one's my hand.
Yeah, now we get up.
Okay, so maybe
it's yours.
Yeah. I thought for sure, I was like, something's leaking. Something's leaking. I was like, what's going on?
No, it was, yeah.
I heard someone say that no one had any cold box shots yet. So I was like,
well, no, I appreciate it. Thank you. No, those are actually really, really, really good.
Delicious.
That definitely just reset my palate.
I know. Yeah, that's the problem here.
Let's go back in the beer. What's the beer tastes like after this?
There we go. Oh, yeah. Do that.
You didn't have right this minute. I was just sharing.
I mean, has anyone ever sat down in a Jello shot and just like look at it for a while? Like,
it's like making noises, speaking to you.
My throat is still popping.
Have you ever seen Alien? Like the little hands gonna come up.
Classic.
What other movie are we bringing up today?
Come on. Well, I already know how I'm gonna end the episode.
Oh my God!
And it's not a movie; it's an old TV show.
Set,
and it's for Paul's birthday. So.
Wait, Paul, how old are you gonna be?
Paul, you're same age as me.
Really?
I think
no.
He is.
I think he's like a little bit younger.
No,
he's younger than us.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh God, you're getting that.
Even though he has more white. God. I'm the oldest. I say white because it looks better.
Well, you are the whitest.
Well, like pasty white. Yeah.
I was talking about beard hair.
I just want to take that. I want to take that off of my teeth. That's all.
Bradley was trying to redo that.
We had the taxi.
We had a 250-pound dude in here earlier.
He was like,
who's ripped as hell, who's showing me pictures of a long range
50
clunker. Yeah. And he tried to remove it.
And with his mouth. And his mouth. Then he smacked your ass.
What happened? How did it come back on? He didn't win it?
Paul's like,
bad Bradley. That's a bad Bradley.
Bad Bradley.
Oh damn. Oh man, you know.
It's there we were.
Did
we really even talk about Majestic?
Yeah. No, we haven't.
I mean, we talked about like
how I didn't listen to Paul or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
we got distracted by the shots.
Yeah, that's all right.
But I don't know. We've been just every time we brew a beer. Like I hate to say it, every time we brew a beer, it's always a constant. Getting like a method of getting better. So it kind of started with some of the, actually it started with Creature. I think you knocked out on Incognito.
Yeah.
No, I did a cult side with
that. Was that? Oh, that was
cult side. That was the first time we used it though.
Yeah. That was the first time we really got kind of ending.
But then that's when we started doing a lot more on the cult side though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We start adding those new products in.
Yeah.
To try to change up the game, give it a little, when we have a product that gives, like we know what we're getting from it, you know, and you add that into the mix, like, you can kind of create what you want to create, not guess at what the hops are taste like anymore.
Yeah. Well,
that's a big thing about it.
When you told Mike about that, when you did a cold side, he was just like,
I know.
Really?
I think everybody in the industry was like, you, but then also it rocked.
That's the thing. Like Mike saw me pull off what, 5-day naughty sauce this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just like was laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, this shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kudos to Mike. Day one, was it? American Light Lager, I think.
Yeah,
For Lumino.
Yeah.
Lumino, yeah. Yep. It's great beer.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I love you guys. I mean, you guys are awesome, and I appreciate the beer and everything. And always love hanging out, being able to laugh with you guys for a while.
I was never stopping. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you that.
Let's just paint a picture where we are. We're in the gazebo, and like this grassy lawn, we have like Yeah. From our silo, you know, all our spent grain goes out to the goats who are currently, you know, rummaging.
They're grazing on the side of the cliff. Yeah. You know, when we're overlooking the ocean.
Yeah. And but if you hear a little crash in the background,
we're all dressed in white. Yeah.
Paul busts out his sword and says, "I have the power," in his short shorts and everything.
And like we just nod in agreement. He's just not in agreement in the background.
Yeah. That's why. Paul's short shorts is like a regular.
Oh, he's He-Man.
They're called running shorts.
Close enough.
If you want to say that.
Yeah.
They're from those.
I've been to West Hollywood before.
If I look at this way, it says VA. And if I look at from the other way, it says VA. Yeah. It's a strange brand.
Yeah. Well, like Strange Brew. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie. It's an old one. Rick Moranis.
That's old.
It's an old movie, but it's about beer. And Bob and Doug McKenzie. It's Rick Moranis and fuck.
By the way, can we put you on like panel one day of just like dropping every
this movie every quotes?
One? Yeah.
Sure. I'm always up for anything.
I think we could have a movie panel here.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm down.
Clips of flicks, and then they gotta identify it.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
We'll bet on you. So
okay,
if I win money,
so we have like Jeopardy.
The house has
a Jeopardy thing would be pretty funny for movies. That would
Jeopardy,
be pretty bad.
Movie Jeopardy.
We're always talking some new stuff here.
All right. What do you? Anything else coming up, Josh?
Yeah. Major thing coming up, April 27th. We'll be announcing more in this week. We're going to be doing another Tiki event with Kristen from Happiest Place on Earth.
She's so sweet.
She's nice awesome. Person. Dude, she's been amazing. And so she's putting together Tony, Jeff, Carter. Sam Carter. They're going to all be involved for that. And it's going to be it's going to be a sit-down dinner this time.
Okay.
So
awesome.
You'll have everything out next, I think, Wednesday. It'll be live for the event to buy tickets. It's going to be 100-person minimum.
Okay.
100-person max ticket-wise. And there's going to be different tiers for the event. So that's the next really big event coming. And then, you know, our usual, we have our Tuesday nights, $4 pints for craft beer appreciation night. So if you guys want to come talk to one of the brewers, want to have some beer, come on down, enjoy that. And then, you know, the usual next week's Ducks. So if you're in the area, come on down, free parking. If you
Tuesday night is actually a Ducks game.
Oh yeah, it is. Yes. Nice. Yeah, sorry. Yes,
so, yeah. Most likely you will see the Brewers there. You also probably see the Brewers at the game table. Yes. So there's always a good chance with that too.
So I mean that's about it for right now. No major plans at the moment.
We do have a couple keys coming down that does the
drink wise. Yes,
drink wise we do. Like Cam's and finally do the Prince Kamikaze.
Finally.
Yeah, I know. The colada pina.
It's been a while. Yeah.
What else do we have coming out for Sesame Wise?
Were we trying to do like
the Bahama Mama?
Bahama Mama.
Yeah, too. With Stowaway.
We're going to do some naughty variants.
We're just going to come out and try to just figure out different flavors, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
just going
game
forward. Just like figure out what we want to like grow in a bigger batch later on. Just start small and then see what we like. And
I think you're right. Experimenting with new flavors that kind of like border that edge of tiki. So cherry, you don't see much in tiki, but it works. So we're just kind of like starting to explore bigger things. Pickle Rick will be coming back soon.
Pickle Rick will be back. Rick's pickle punch will be back.
Yeah.
I know people are happy about that. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know a few people that are going to be really excited that that's coming back.
Yeah, we're stoked on that one.
We've seen like some nationwide pickle beers come out, maybe not since, but around the same time. And being that we weren't considered in there, I was like, please, I will stack our pickle up against anyone's pickle.
Yeah,
we're not naming names. Whoa, wait, hold on.
We're going to
say that too. Yeah.
And you're going to stack your pickle
against your pickle beer.
Pickles.
No, that plus size come back, and there's going to be a variation too, a spicy variation this time.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So I'm sure people are going to love that.
Yeah, so we're still, like I said, the lineup coming here in the next month, based off what we've been doing, it's just going to be advancing more than... I don't know. We're stuck very. I mean, I know we keep saying it, but like we're finally in our groove. These two have been putting out
what
they need. Like I said, Paul with his Hazy series, Jimmy with his West Coast series,
Harry Porter,
and
Cam turning them and burning
it. Yeah.
Every tank.
The funny thing is, Cam brews every beer. Cam brews every beer.
Our workhorse.
Other than your guys' beer, I brew.
Still need help.
I'm trying to.
I still call you up to the brew deck.
Oh wait, I'll help you. No, like I'm trying to like focus on new seltzer flavors going forward. I've been trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah, that's
but you know what we didn't talk about at all, though, is anyone besides going to Disneyland? I know we're going tomorrow, but the Food and Wine Fest. In case anyone didn't know, Naughty Sauce is there.
Awesome.
So
been a long project coming, yes. Trying to get back in the park. Yeah. And what ended up happening is they picked up a bunch of six stools. And very quickly after that, they needed a lot more six stools. So
yeah,
apparently that's like proof of, you know, kind of proof of point for us.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of picked it up as like a, hey, people might do this, but more people did that than not.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome though. Like they've more than exceeded what they expected, which is good for us. Like, I mean, that's.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We were talking about that last week. Yeah.
International exposure for Disney in Southern California. This is like House of the Mouse, the crux of where people go.
We got a little something going on over here.
Is this just the Watch Me Lick?
That does not just taste like, I can't just ask me to smell our hand. Know.
So, yeah. What now? So you can smell our hand, but not smell my finger? No. Come on, bro.
Here we go.
I sanitized it.
About to go off the rails.
Is she nibbling kidding. Your neck too?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, but if you guys go to,
I mean, Jenny, you have like neck.
Yeah,
so like
we're
on the vibration. Yeah. Of what's going on?
Down by the Little Mermaid and all that.
Well, right? Further, yeah. So where the goofy slides, you know,
right
the food court down there.
Oh yeah.
I forget. It's something paradise. We're in there, so that we'll be back Monday. We'll be back on Monday. They'll have us back on there. We've been out for a couple of days because they ran out.
Okay.
But it's getting put restock. Monday, we're back going. Good. So like I said, if you're in the area, like I said, for sure, go buy it, purchase it, support us. It helps us out because the more we go through, the hopefully this becomes a permanent handle there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're aiming for. And we've been working our butts off. And, you know, besides that, we're hoping another one's going to be coming into play there real soon.
Okay.
If all goes right. So we're pretty stoked. So that's one thing. So if we're going to the Food and Wine Fest at Disney, like I said, first, grab our beers.
The first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pineapple upside down cake.
Oh, that's what, delicious.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure like,
might what, be something what is we that? Have to like work with.
So. Oh, no, there it you definitely go. Is. It's our first variant. Fucking Dole Whip right there.
There we go.
Nice.
Sorry, guys.
When the front of the house comes back, like with like.
Something good and delicious.
We don't have to work at all for it and it's perfect. It's
yeah.
Like this best case scenario.
Exactly.
Bill Gates over here.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to end the episode. But thank you guys.
Oh, come on. Leave me.
Oh, no, I'm not leaving. But we're hanging out.
John, stop.
Sorry.
We can keep talking. Dude, okay, I can figure out some other stuff we can talk about.
we're entertaining, we promise.
Oh, no, you guys are great.
By the way, when do we get to do a Nopal like stand-up night? We've been doing stand-ups here.
Stand-up or roast night?
I think we need to start with a
roast. I think we should do a roast.
Hey, wait, who can roast? Do we get a GSE?
No,
we need to roast someone else.
You guys would kill me.
You guys should roast me if you guys want.
We are roasting Jimmy.
Everybody has to be here, and don't take it serious.
First thing out, we're all going to be in a fight that day.
Yeah. So... it's Roast Saturday, Fight Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's Fight Club, so we don't talk about it.
When you're right, you're right. All right.
Rot one in. I did a movie quote thing. I nailed it, guys. Remember my name.
34 setups later.
Well, thank you guys again for being on. We'll have a beer. We don't have to, of course. But
even though I didn't know this was happening today, so
it's all good. So I'm going to end the show with this quote.
Nice crotch.
Because if you don't wear short shorts like Paul on his birthday, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.